Radio Netherlands presents Westerbork's List, the story of the World War II Dutch transit camp Westerbork and the struggle to survive the transports to the east.
When we talk about Westerbork in those days, there was only one subject predominant, and that was the monstrous train. The monstrous train, it arrived each Monday night, and it left on Tuesday morning. And in between, the names were called in the barracks.
You know, we were not tortured, but mentally it was awful, because there was always the doom of the train, and that you were on the list to go away.
All the time you were overwhelmed by fear to be on that list. Everybody felt uncomfortable, and everybody invested all the energy and the creativity to be not on that list. But we knew that someday our names would be called.
That's what made this camp so awful, because you were not sure of anything. Never.
On the 10th of May 1940, the Nazis invaded the Netherlands. For the 140,000 Jews living in the country, it would herald the start of unprecedented persecution. 75% would not survive, the highest percentage of any country in Western Europe. And nearly all of them, before being transported to the death camps in the east, would pass through Camp Westerbork in the Dutch province of Drenthe. Some stayed there for just a few hours, others weeks. Some were there for many months. But once there, the aim was to avoid being on the list that sent you on that monstrous train eastwards. This is the story of three very different people who were in Westerbork and who, against all the odds, survived.
...107,000 people were transported from here. From that, only 5,000 came back. They survived. So when we speak about the history of Camp Westerbork, you can say it's also the history of 102,000 dead people and only 5,000 survivors. My name is Dirk Mulder, and I'm the director of the Memorial Museum Westerbork. Camp Westerbork was built in 1939. It was a camp built by order of the Dutch government for the refugees from Germany, Jewish refugees who fled the Nazis and came to Holland. When the German army came in Holland in May 1940, there were about 900 people who were living here in this camp. And the first Dutch Jews came in the autumn of 1942.
My name is Louis de Waes. I was 20 when I first went to Westerbork. We had heard from Westerbork, but we didn't know exactly where it was and how it was. And when we arrived near Westerbork, they really pushed us, hurried us up. And then after 1 hour, you saw the barricade, red and white, and then we were assembled on the central platz. 17,000 people assembled in Westerbork. It was a complete chaos.
My name is Trudel van Reemst. When I went to Westerbork, I was in my late 20s. I was in prison, and I had a baby. He was then 10 months when we were arrested. So I thought, I must live through, because I have a child that helped me. And one night they opened the doors of the cells and they called Juren Roos. So next morning they sent me to Westerbork. But because I came from a prison, I got an S. That means that the first transport you were going away. But I felt ill, so I tried to come to the hospital and it saved me.
My name is Ed Fontijn, and I was 8 years old when I went for the first time to Westerbork. We were put into a train for cattle on the floor, and people were panicking and crying and weeping. It was terrible. It took many hours to get to Westerbork. My mother and I went to the ladies' barrack, and very soon I was brought to the hospital. I was very ill. I suffered from pleuritis, I had bronchitis, and also dysentery. The camp was not very clean. So I spent weeks and weeks in the hospital in front of the locations where people were dying. I never understood why I was confronted with dying people all the time. But each week saved us. We never complained about treatment in the hospital.
Very important was to try to stay here in Camp Westerbork. So people here tried to do many things. First of all, to talk with the administration of this camp that were also Jews, because there were only perhaps 20 or 30 Nazis here, and the going on of this camp was run by the people themselves. So it was very important when you try to stay here, they needed connections with the administration who decided about the transport list.
My father had to clean the barracks every morning. My mother went to a huge kitchen to peel potatoes and carrots and things like that. The younger child went to school. My sister became a nurse in a hospital. And I became a fantastic job being a kind of a messenger boy to bring the messages from the barrack outside the camp, where Gemmeke, the SS commander, had his office, to bring messages to the camp administration inside the camp. It was a fantastic job. And I think that having a job gave you a certain feeling that you tried to stay there, and it was better to stay in Westerbork than to be transported to a place we didn't know.
It was a very orderly system, and what the Germans did was only this. From Berlin came the order how many people had to deport it the next week, and Gemmeker said to his Jewish administrators, mostly German Jews, I want 1,000 people or 1,100. And then, in the night of Monday on Tuesday, then was the moment that this number had to be filled in by the names of the people. And when that was ready, then the next morning on Tuesday, the train departed with the number given by the directions at Berlin.
I remember the unrest. People were unnerved very much. And most of all, I remember the Monday nights. People who were not on the list were very relieved, of course, for 1 week. And the others were crying or shocked. It was terrible.
A lot changed when on the 16th of February, my parents and the foster child got the message that they had to leave. That's changed a lot. We wanted to join them. And my father said, and never forget these words, of course, "You stay here. I tell you why. I'm 52, mother is 48. I'm healthy. I've got warm clothes with me." So he said, "If they gave me plenty food, we can stand it a long time." I will never forget these words. After that, my ideas about camp, about life, changed a lot. We thought, let's make the best of it. Then I played football. I joined the cabaret.
We had to realize that many of the people who fled from Germany in the 30s were also famous artists in the Berlin cabaret from that period. And they also came here in the camp and made a new cabaret here. And they made very famous programs. Willy Rosen, Max Ehrlich, Erich Siegler, Camilla Spira. Everything was possible to make a very good cabaret, and when it was necessary to buy some materials for the clothing, then it was always allowed to go to other places in Holland to buy things.
People could go to Amsterdam to prepare decors. My brother-in-law, Leo Kok, the best artist in the camp, painted this decor. Gemmeke absolutely loved it, and he sat there on the first row, mostly all alone. Sometimes a few of these bastards from The Hague came. I have a few pictures here. Well, the first is the original program. 16th October 1943, it was performed. Bravo da Capo was the name of this musical. Revue von Willy Rosen. And here you see Louis de Wijze. It was a fantastic cabaret. And if you are part of this group, the same as with a football team, you've got this close friendship, even if you're only a very small star. Galapagos, Galapagos, heißt Insel in dem Meer.
Galapagos, Galapagos, aus Rons ist alles. When I read about entertainment and about children play and things like that, I'm totally amazed. There was an exhibition recently under the title Laughing in Westerbork. And I was shocked. Did we ever laugh in Westerbork? But we did.
There were also people in the camp who doesn't want to go to it, because these cabarets were on the Tuesday evening, and Tuesday was the transport day, and of course Kemmerker thought it was very good to have a way to take away the stress of that transport day. But there were also people who didn't want to go it, because they said, no, you can't go to the cabaret, you can't laugh on this evening, you can't go to it.
I never went there. I couldn't. And you know, the cabaret, there was a special place for Gemmeke. It makes me sick to think about it. He said always he loved children. And this baby came with his mother to Westerbork. She was 6 months pregnant and she got the baby. So Gemmeke sent for a Jewish professor of children's illness. And he ordered special food. And he had to have a glass of cognac. So Gemmeke sent for the best brandy there is. And there were two nurses responsible for the baby. I was one of them. And Gemmeke looked through the window every day. And for us, he does everything to keep this little life. It meant for us a lot. We thought, well, there is hope. And when he was 5 pounds, he went to a crib. And when he was 6 pounds, he went to transport. Gemmeke did some stupid things. He made a transport only of children. And he gave all the children a tomato. And that was extraordinary because there was nearly no food. But he knew exactly what happened with the children.